Yeah, today we're in the home of... I'm just talking to see if I'm talking loud enough for my voice. Today I'm in the home of Ed Jano. Do you pronounce your name?
Jano.
Jano. And it's 104 and a half. Is your address 104?
You got me. I wouldn't know the numbers on the... out here, though, but I never seemed to look at it. I think it's 104 and a half or something.
104 and a half Island Street, and that's off of Clay Street? Is that Clay Street?
I don't know the streets too well here.
Yeah.
Is it Clay Street somewhere around here?
Yeah. Well, I won't. The tape recorder. I guarantee you, the tape recorder won't hurt.
Well, nothing to fear. Only not used to it.
Right. All I wanted to do today, Mr. Jano, is just talk to you about when you first came to Alaska, and just some general questions, and we'll just talk. So don't worry about giving the right. If you can't think of a name,
that's
okay.
Well, that's trouble. I've only gotten this way since it was knocked in the head. I can't think of names.
Yeah.
I do later, but they don't come to me right away.
So last night you were telling me it was about a year and a half ago that you were in Seattle.
December a year ago.
And it was, you were staying at the Savoy Hotel. And right in broad daylight, someone
hit
you.
Yeah, but it wasn't right at the hotel. It was three, four blocks away from there. I was with another sourdough, an old-timer that I knew here. And we just parted. He went his way and... I went on, there was nobody. And after we separated.
And somebody just hit you on the head, and that's the last you remember.
I didn't feel it.
Yeah.
But I woke up in the hospital.
And since then, you've had a little bit of trouble remembering.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, mostly names. Well, I remember a lot of things, but
yeah.
Names... get me.
Yeah. Well, I met
they
you...
They come to me later. Oh, your husband was mentioned about some guy 94 or 95 years old from up there. Jack. I remember since. Jack Brooks.
Jack Brooks.
Did you know him?
Yes. He was at our house for dinner about 4 years ago.
Oh, he passed away more long than that.
Longer than that, was it?
I think. Well... must be 5 or 6 years ago.
But
I knew him before he came to the 40 mile.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yes. But I was there probably 5 or 6 years before he came up there.
I see.
But he'd been in Alaska, I guess, before that.
Oh, he was in Alaska with my husband's father, Jack Dalton.
But he wasn't up there.
No. He helped freight over what they call the Dalton Trail.
That's
from Haines up to Kluane Lake.
I've been to Kluane. Well, I've been to Haines. For
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Jack Brooks helped my husband's father. He worked with him for a while in freighting into the Klondike.
Oh, when I first knew Jack, he was a husky guy.
Mm-hmm. He was a big, big man.
Yeah, but he finally, towards the last, he got kind of stoop-shouldered. Mm-hmm. Well, naturally at that age.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He was a husky, but I'll tell you one thing I remember about Jack, though. Oh, 100 miles from where he lived and where I live, for that matter. He lived as a chicken most.
Yes.
And anyway, he was awfully stingy. I remember. When Parcel Post first started, he sent outside for his grub to save.
Oh, by Parcel Post. Well, there are lots of people in Alaska do that right now.
Of course, grub. But say, we thought grub was high in the 40 mile, but man alive, it's way higher now.
It's pretty high now.
Right in town, even.
Where do you do most of your own cooking here at your house?
I have to. The doctor put me on a salt-free diet. I don't love that cooking.
So you can't have salt?
Well, I begin to eat a little salt, too. I don't take any medicine, none whatever. I'm supposed to take, for a while. Well, I took no medicine till this thing happened. And that medicine they gave me made me sick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then he left me off with some vitamin pills. I do take them.
Yes.
But I don't see any difference. I think I'll quit them, too. And a little tiny heart pill. Well, something kept me sick and gave me a pain in the foot. I never had it before. I blamed it on that heart pill.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't quit them. That's a year ago. And I don't see they do any good. After I quit them, pain quit here.
The pain quit in your foot.
I never had pains like that before.
I see. Well, let's go back to when you were born. You were born in... You told me that your birthday was June 1st.
That's right.
And you were 90 years old.
That's right.
So you were born on June 1st, 1883.
That's right.
And you were born in Texas?
Texas.
What part of Texas?
You might say not quite northeast, north central. Delta County.
Delta County. And did you live there until you came to Alaska?
Practically, but a year or two. Well, I left home about when I was about 17. I was not quite 20 when I first hit Alaska.
So you left Texas when you were about 17, and did
I was back there a time or two, just for a short visit. Yeah.
Where did you go? To the West Coast?
When I was outside?
No, when you left home when you were 17, did you go to
California.
San Francisco? California. Mm-hmm. And what prompted you to come to Alaska? The gold rush?
Well, like a kid, yes, I heard there was gold up here, and I suppose that helped to... I was hunting... different life. I was raised on a cotton farm. And, well, I got big enough to roam around like a lot of kids do. Well, I didn't go directly to California. It was a slow trip. But it wound up in California. And then there was a good thing I didn't make that trip. Oh, this was in Frisco. They were looking for, advertised in the paper for, I can't think of certain names.
For a job on the ship?
No, this was for what they call that? A boy that helps the skipper, you know.
Steward?
No.
First mate?
No. Let's see. Cabin boy, I guess.
Cabin boy. Mm-hmm.
And, advertised for one. It was a whaler, the Carlew.
The Carlew?
Well, I went to apply for that. was on the waterfront in Frisco. Knew nothing about it. Oh, I went to Oklahoma first, before that. But anyway, I lived there a year or so before I got to Frisco. Well, it was only a little ways to Oklahoma, right across the line.
Yes.
And anyway, this shipping master, there was a whole bunch of us kids lined up for the same job. I was the tallest of the bunch, so I was on one end. And the skipper of the Carlo come in. Well, this fella fed us, you know, give us a couple of meals a day in order to hold us around. That's the shipping master.
Mm-hmm.
And he come in, great big guy, a Scotchman, I think, the way he talked. He looked the bunch over and he finally got to me, picked me out of the bunch. And he asked me a question or two, and where is from? Well, I didn't tell him Texas, I told him Oklahoma. He said, that's a long way from salt water, isn't it? I forget the remark I made, but it was comical. I can't think of it now. And, a long way from water or something. I don't know if he says salt water, but a long way from water.
Yeah, that is a long ways from water.
Well, I give him a proper answer, though. Well, he said we'd be gone 7 months. And I think it was 180th lay. That is, if they caught any whales, this is the skipper of the Carlo, the whaler. And 180th lay, that meant that if he got 180 whales, you got one. Well, we understood that it paid you off in gold, and they had to pay you off in gold, but that might be a $5 gold piece.
Yeah.
And they have to bring you back to
San Francisco.
American port.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the articles. So I thought for a minute, he says if we winter up there, we'd be gone a year and 7 months. That got me. I didn't think I could take it, and I hesitated. He says, well, make up your mind. There's other boys here. I says, you better take one. The Carlick went down that year.
The Carlick sank?
Well, it never returned. They built another one after mm-hmm. that.
Was the crew lost?
Evidently.
Well, you were lucky. You were lucky. Then, did you stay in San Francisco area?
No, I got to Seattle. Well, my first trip, I stowed away. That's common with kids, you know. Oh, that was a funny deal.
Did they find you stowed away?
No, they didn't. But I really cheated, though. There were a bunch of Slavonians lined up on the dock in Seattle. And there's another pal with me, a kid named Happy, we call him Happy. And he was only a kid too, and he's a mean kid.
He was mean, but you called him Happy.
Well, that was his nickname.
Yeah.
Happy Halwick. And, I don't mean mean some ways, many ways, a different ways, not a bad way. Well, anyway, the bunch of Slavonians in the gang, and there was a man reading their names off. Listened to everything. I learned they were headed for Wrangell. Well, I didn't know one part of Alaska from another. So, just Alaska. So anxious to get up there. So, he began, some guy come up there and began to call their names. Well, one guy hesitated. As he'd call their name, they'd step over to one side. One guy hesitated, I stepped over to the side. Figured I'd get a free trip to Wrangell. Oh, they were going to work in a rock quarry, a marble quarry. We learned all that before, just listening.
Yes.
To other guys talk.
Yes.
I stepped over there. When he got through, there was one guy left. Didn't know his old name. Well, we got aboard anyway. And his partners coaxed him aboard. Well, that seemed to be simple enough. Oh, we were in a steerage, naturally, down below. And after we was out a few miles, the same fella come in there calling the names again. This one guy was left. They didn't put him off. Oh, they'd have to go ashore, and by that time we'd go in the inside passage, probably in Canadian waters, Queen Charlotte Sound.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, the same fella was left, but the other fellas fed him. There were plenty of bunks. But I eat.
You went under an assumed name then.
Yeah. I don't even know the name.
But you were eating for this.
But the other fellow didn't go hungry. They fed him.
Yeah.
When we got to Wrangell, unloaded and everything, another fellow aboard there stowing away. Well, we got a young fella. We stayed aboard, and at different places we'd longshore, unload, get paid for it. Finally we got to Juneau, and there was quite a few hours there, or 4 bits an hour then.
For longshoring?
Yeah.
Four bits an hour?
Oh, yes. And anyway, we had a few hours there, and we'd get paid off at each place. The purser would pay us. Well, you know what he says. Where did you boys get on? That's the other lad and me. Well, we didn't know what to tell. We knew we were stowaways. That's the first time we were bothered. But he paid us anyway, and we asked if we could stay on till they crossed over to Douglas Island. He let us. Well, that's when we went to work. And
so then you got off the ship at Douglas Island. Do you remember the name of that ship that you stowed away on?
Let me see now. I made two or three trips, but that's the only time I stowed away.
The other trips you paid for your
but let's see. It wasn't in Jefferson. I made a trip on in Jefferson. Right now, I can't think of the name of that. Let's see. Might have been City of Seattle.
City of Seattle.
I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it'll... That's not important right now. Maybe you'll think about it later. Yeah.
I made several trips in and out the Inside Passage. And, let's see.
Then you got off at Douglas Island. That's just across Gastineau Channel from Juneau.
Well, from Juneau. Yeah.
And then you said you worked in the...
Well,
you got a job then,
we found out the Yukon breakup.
Yeah. What did you do at Douglas and Douglas Island?
Worked in the mine.
You worked in the
mucking. Oh, I had
the
say I was 21, but I wasn't. But anyway, it didn't matter. I was dark and dark hair and so on, and I could easily pass for 21, which I did.
But you were was that the Treadwell mine?
Treadwell mine.
And you worked as a mucker.
That's right.
And
that's the first time I was ever underground.
And did you work there that winter until the
no,
spring?
No, that was getting towards spring. I only worked there a month or two, well, 6 weeks, I think.
I see.
Until I found out the Yukon was open. As you go down the Yukon. Well, I made it down to Dawson.
This was in 1903 or 19?
1903.
So you went from Juneau to Skagway.
That's right.
And then what?
But I stowed away again.
You stowed away
to Skagway.
I wonder how many early Alaskans stowed away to get.
Oh, many, many.
Many did. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of them just didn't have the money to pay.
Well, that's the way with most of us, sure.
Well, in Juneau, where did you live there? Did you just pitch a tent?
Didn't live in Juneau.
Or in Douglas
Island. They had, the finest board in the world there was $1 a day. I mean, to mine.
Board and room?
Board and cleanest, nicest rooms, two in a room. Oh, boy, they were clean for that.
And you worked there for about 6 weeks, and then...
Well, something like that.
Yeah. And tell me about Skagway. What was that like when you landed in Skagway?
Very tame. Oh, this was after the...
After the big rush.
Yeah, 1903. The big rush was 97, 98 along there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, probably a little later, too. It was very tame when I was there.
Well, did you take the White Pass Railroad to Whitehorse?
Listen, I couldn't spare $20 for that ride, 111 miles. I mushed it. I thought about catching it before it got over in the Canadian side. There's 21 miles it was on the American side. And it goes awful slow up a steep grade. But I couldn't make it.
It was $20 to go from Skagway to Whitehorse?
111 miles, yeah.
Yeah, and you just didn't have the money.
Well, I had enough to pay my fare, but I needed it. I figured I'd need some money when I got to Dawson.
Where did you get the dogs to mush over the trail?
Dogs?
You said you walked?
Call that mushy.
Oh, I see. So you walked?
That's right.
The 111 miles?
111 miles. It took me 3 days then.
So did you just walk right along the railroad track?
That's right. You could eat at the section houses, 50 cents a meal, and what meals? Oh, plenty.
Did you ride the railroad eventually?
Oh.
Later, when you
later
had some
years,
money.
Sure. Mm. I never had to walk that again. Oh, at 21 miles, the summit. there's custom office, Canadian custom office. Mm-hmm. Well, we got there. You're supposed to have $50 at least on you when you come through there. Well, I passed, slipped by this place, just room so you could slip by if you care to go to trouble. At the summit, quite a bluff, you know. And I slipped by, figured it all right, I got by it. But after I mushed a few miles, oh, mosquitoes them days were bad. But anyway, I didn't have a regular pack. I had an army pack. I mean, over my shoulder, the old way the army used to go. I didn't like that backpack. But I was a fairly healthy young lad. I mushed a few miles, and I see a Maori coming toward, alongside the track. I says to myself, oh.
You're in trouble.
Well, anyway, I knew I didn't have 50 bucks on me. $50. And you're supposed to have $50. But I didn't lack very much. I had close to it. I spruced up as straight as I could, act like a man. We met, she was very nice, polite. But he asked me where it's from and so on.
Was the Mountie by himself?
By himself.
Was he walking?
Well built.
Was he walking or
walking,
was he on a horse?
Yeah. No. Oh, they didn't have lots of places they didn't use horses, although they call them Mounties. In Dawson, I never seen one mounted, mm-hmm. white horse or anything. But they call them Mounties. They probably do.
They still do.
And anyway, he asked me a few questions, finally asked me how much money I had. Well, I said, I haven't got quite $50. Oh, after I answered all the other questions. So I was trying to get to Dawson, look for a job. So, and I guess that's all right. Gee!
That made you happy.
Figured I was safe.
Yeah. Well, you probably answered his questions, you know, honestly and straightforwardly.
That's right.
If you'd tried to lie to him, he probably would have.
He was very nice.
Yeah.
I tell you the truth. I've been mixed up with quite a few of those Maoris through the years. They're all princes except one. We had one that was stationed at the mouth of 40 Mile on the Canadian side. You see there's about 30 miles of that on...
In Canada,
the mouth of 40. And we had one skunk there, though. But really, the Maoris kicked him out of the service.
Oh, they did?
They even found it out.
He was
no good.
Was he dishonest? Or was he just
mean?
In
every way, yes.
Oh,
you know,
that's strange. Yeah, strange that he was even.
But he got kicked out of the service finally. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess he reported by different people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you to get back to your.
They're a good bunch.
Yes, they are.
They used to be, you know. Mm.
Then you, when you got to White Horse, did you stay there at White Horse very long?
There were fella building boats there. No, I didn't stay there long. Oh, not one guy. There's several boat builders, river boats. And I went down to see the price of, there was a couple of Savonians trying to price one. They could hardly talk, I mean, English.
They were trying to find the cost to go to, of the ride from Whitehorse to Dawson.
Find the price of a boat. You know, they were cheap.
Oh, to buy a boat.
Downriver boats, yeah. Single-enders, or they good river boats. Well, I asked if they'd care if I'd go with them, pay my part. A 14-foot boat would only cost $14, a dollar a foot. And oars and everything with it. Well, that was only about $5 a piece, so that was easy. I had to get grub. You know, we were 3 days, getting day and night almost. We did camp at night. Mosquitoes would eat you up. We didn't camp long. Them boys would hardly eat anything. Like a kid, I it didn't bother me any. And, well, it's 300-odd miles. I forget exactly how many miles. But
from
it's between 300 and 400 miles.
From Whitehorse to Dawson.
Yeah. And supposed to be one bad place, but after I got used to rivers, it was like mill pond to me.
Oh, really?
That's Five Finger Rapids. Well, the kind of rapids there, all right, it didn't mean much. And anyway, we'd camp for a little while at night. Mosquitoes would eat you so bad, it was better to keep out midstream.
Stay out in the river.
Mm-hmm. Well, before the 3 days were up, them guys, they didn't talk much, and they got to quarreling. And they, oh, man.
This is reel 2 of 4 reels. Mike Dalton interviewing Ed Janot, 90, July 6th, 1973, in Ed Janot's trailer home in Rabbit Island off of Clay Street, Fairbanks, Alaska.
I tell you, they got so mad at one another, I thought they were going to... Well, I could tell what it was all about, although they were talking in their own lingo.
In Yugoslavian.
They thought they were lost.
Oh.
Going downstream so long, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd already heard about you can't get lost. I knew that, as long as you keep going downstream, you can't get lost. I knew that was what they were scared of.
I see.
Well, I just plainly told them, well, I had to. I was just a kid, but they were grown, fully grown men, well built. I had to tell them what I really thought. I knew what they were scrapping about, and boy, they were getting hostile with one another. I told them, say, you fellas cut it out. I said, you can't get lost. I'd heard that from someone else. As long as you go downstream, you'll get to Dawson. So keep going. Well, it calmed him down. Each one take a turn about rowing, you know, every half hour. Them boogers wouldn't, they hardly eat anything all the way down, but I had plenty to eat.
Why didn't they eat much?
Scared, I guess.
Oh, did they have...
On the river, weren't used to being so long on the river. Even from the start, they would.
I see.
And they were husky guys, too. Well, that's all I can tell you that. Finally, Dawson showed up. And there was kind of a different attitude between them by that time. Well,
were they on better personal terms with each other?
Yeah, and they met some friends in Dawson.
Oh, good.
I don't know what became of them. We sold a boat. And, all you got back for it, it only cost $14. We got $5 back for it. Oh, there were a lot of boats those days.
Oh, yes.
Hundreds of them. Well, $5, almost $2 a piece. But then I had a job, looking for a job. Well, I heard there was, the Googies were hiring. Oh, not hiring, exactly, already hired, but they worked a lot of people. Different places, up Bonanza Creek, that was the main creek. Well, about 12, 13 miles to the Forks, and I decided to mush up there. Oh, a funny thing happened before I got there. I didn't get too far up, out of town. You could sleep, they had bunk houses in Dawson, four bits. Overnight, or bunks, all they were. And you could eat for 4 bits. That's 50 cents for you know what.
Yeah, I know.
Well, anyway, I couldn't afford to waste too much time. I had to look for a job in a totally different country than I was used to, you know,
yes.
In every way. I went to the Forks, but about 3-4 miles up the road, I was mushing. I see a handbag down, well, close to a culvert, down the bank. Nice little bag. I went down, kind of a bluff, crawled down, picked it up, felt fairly heavy. Leather bag. Oh, something like what I got here. And I didn't open it. Time I got back up on the road, it was down a little bluff. And there comes a two-horse surrey. Didn't have automobile them there. A two-horse carriage, you might call it. You know what a surrey is.
A surrey, yes. Mm-hmm.
And there was a cop in it.
A Mountie?
Yeah. Let's see. No, he wasn't coming. He was going towards
towards
the Forks,
Bonanza.
Too. Mm-hmm. Well, I got up there and stopped, of course. I said, them fellas scared me them days. A kid, you know, was scared of cops. And but I told him I just picked this up. He said, I thought I saw you. Something of that sort. Very nice guy, though. And he looked at it. Oh, there was a tag on it. Stoddard. It belonged to Stoddard. He says, I guess it fell off the mail wagon. And, he asked me where it headed for. I told him, headed for the Forks. He said, well, pile in. I'm headed there, too. He's going up there after a crazy man.
Oh.
So, that was a good ride.
That was a good ride. Well,
he told me, he said, I think you'd see it. He knew where Stoddard hung out. There was only two saloons there in at the Forks them days. Oh, it had been a busy place at one time before that.
Yeah.
But there were two saloons, and he knew where the Stoddard hung out. So he says, well, this should help you get a job. I told him I was looking for a job. Made me feel good, you know. And a kid in a strange country. We got to the Forks, stopped in front of a saloon. He said, I think you'll find him in there. But he wasn't mistaken. But he waited. Went in there, there was only, outside of the bartender, there was only one man in there. And I asked for Mr. Stoddard. That's me. He says, I think this belongs to you. He says, it sure does. Where'd you get it? I told him the score. Figured sure I was good for a job. And he didn't say thank you or nothing. And he, well, got through. I see it was all there was to it. I asked him for a job. He said, hell, I'm looking for a job myself.
Oh, that's too bad.
He had a drink or two under his belt. But, well, I went out and told the cop the score. And that cop was mad. He says, I wish we hadn't done it to
him. Well, was Stoddard the mail carrier?
No, he was the man that owned the bag.
Owned the bank?
The bag.
Oh, the bag.
Some gold dust he was sending out. It was full of dust.
Full of gold dust? And
I thought
found
it was
it?
Heavy. Sure. Pope.
Yeah. And he...
He's mine.
He didn't even thank you?
No, he didn't.
I can't imagine.
Well, anyway, that was him. Well, I told the cop what he said and so on. Well, believe me, he didn't like it. But... He says, now, he tried to help me out. He told me there was a nice brand new barn close by. There was no rooming house or nothing there then. And now he says, if you're stuck here, you see Mr. Johnson. He owns that nice, clean barn, good hayloft. He says, you can get lodging up there. And so on. Well, the coffee was the boss of the mining works around there. They had different camps. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see him till after supper time. Oh, before I left Dawson, I got a loaf of bread and a can of coffee.
That was your grub stick.
You had to be careful. New country and so on. And a wild country, you might say.
Do you remember how much the loaf of bread cost you?
Oh, yeah. The bread was cheap. 2 bits a loaf in Dawson. Yeah. Well, them were nickel outside those days.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, yeah, good loaf of French bread. 5 and 2 bits. Quarter. Yeah. I'm used to it.
Well, everybody who's lived up in Alaska knows what 2 bits means.
Well, anyway... I thought you were a chichok.
No, I'm not a chichok.
No. So I had that. And after supper, this was at about 3 below. 3 below on Bonanza's. Quite a works there. I mean, mining.
Yes.
Open cut. And there's quite a gang around there. Oh, I hit this fella before supper. This quite a while before supper. Probably 3 in the afternoon. Coffee, the boss. For a job. He sized me up. Oh, I said, can you use another man? I didn't know how to ask for a job. I says, can you use another man? He's a great big guy, too. He says, where's the man?
He must have thought you were a boy.
Well, that's all I got out of
You didn't get a job.
No, but after supper, it was a few hours later, there was quite a gang. They'd already eaten, you see, and getting ready to go to work. And he was out there on a little higher spot than the gang was. The gang was ganging around him, and I just went up where the gang was. He spotted me. And he called me over. He says, have you eaten yet? Or have you been to supper? Something like that. So I says, no. He says, well, you go up here about a quarter of a mile where the cookhouse, bunkhouse, so on. And go in the dining room and tell them that I sent you. They'll feed you. And when you get through, come back and go to work.
Oh, good. So you did get a job.
You know, that was the toughest job. I wasn't used to pick and shovel. Old fellas there, 50 or 60 years old, could handle a shovel like nothing. I was only a kid. But I made it stick. Well, I worked like those days. That was the only place they paid less than $5. It was $4.50 for 10 hours work.
$4.50 a day.
And your board.
And your board and room.
Everywhere else was $5 and board or $6 in some places.
Just do pick and shovel work all the time there?
Well, I was lucky in a way, too. I was handy, naturally, kid. They changed me. Oh, I did for a week or two till the skip tender quit. They weren't up to date on equipment them days. They had a shovel affair. Well, different kind of rigs of that sort, but they didn't have a way to trip it without it. They had to have somebody to trip it to unload.
I see.
With a long pole. And, the guys shovel in skips, we call them. Hold a ton or so of dirt, and this thing come along and lift him up and dump him where he wanted. Well, that's all you had to do was trip them, that bucket. What a relief. Oh, what?
So you got that job finally.
Before I got that, the shift boss, pretty good guy, Nova Scotian. About an hour before eating time, I was on night shift. You go to the blacksmith shop. That is, he gave me that job. Got off an hour before the rest of them did. Go take a bunch of dull picks in to the blacksmith shop, quite a walk from where we were working, and bring sharp ones out. And I had to do that before eating and before quitting time, twice. That left me 2 hours off that 10 hours. Quite a boost. I'm not kidding nobody.
Yeah. Did you ever wish that you were back in Texas
were? No, I was going to have experience.
Yeah.
And you see, where I left Texas, you had to, I didn't work for wages for nobody, but the biggest wages that the farmers got were $13 a month and their board.
A farmhand?
Yeah.
$13 a month
plus
board?
That's a fact. And you had to be good, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I never worked for the other guy down there, no.
Did you work on your
father's farm?
My granddad.
Your granddad's farm. Mm-hmm.
He lived to be 101.
Is that right? Did he stay in Texas all of his life?
No, he was born in Mississippi and, oh, Alabama. No! Let's see. Alabama. Yeah.
Did you have some brothers and sisters?
I had two brothers and two sisters.
Did they come to Alaska?
No.
You're the only one. But back to the Forks, that was off of Bonanza Creek.
On Bonanza Creek.
And how long did you work there?
About six weeks.
This man's name, you said, was Coffee?
Coffee.
Coffee. Mm-hmm.
The boss. Yeah.
The boss was named Mr. Coffee.
About 6 weeks, and I went to work. Oh, another kid myself. Geez, I forget his name. He's a good kid. Big kid. Bigger than But we got along fine. We got a job on a steamboat together. Daggone, I can't think of his name.
The steamboat, did it go from Dawson to Whitehorse?
Yeah.
Oh, a stern wheeler.
Stern wheeler. Dick had.
I see.
Well, wages weren't so heavy, but we made as much as they did on the creeks. A lot easier work. Of course, the mosquitoes, oh boy, I ain't kidding nobody, they were bad. But as long as you were going, but wooding up, you see, they burnt wood. 2 or 3 days, hours out of each 24, you had to wood up. And we never had brains enough to get them head nets.
Well, they had head nets. You could get them, couldn't you?
Never seen one with them until I got back on the American side. This was on the Canadian side.
I see. Well, did you have any mosquito repellent? Did they have citronella then?
No, never. Nobody ever thought of it.
So the mosquitoes just ate away.
Oh yeah, we'd fight them. Get used to them too.
It'd take you then 2 or 3 hours to wood up on the steamers.
Well, no, probably a half hour, a little better, each wood pile, wherever they wooded up. Not much longer than a half hour. Yes, they would eat you, but you get used to anything almost. Well, that was that. We got to... see, what was that pay? Oh, 75 a month and 50 cents an hour for longshore. That loading and unloading at each end.
Oh, so the longshoring was extra.
Yeah.
And then your wages as deckhand on the steamer.
But we made as much as it did on the creeks.
Well, you had board and room also.
Yeah. Well, we had board room on the creeks too.
Yes.
Oh, room.
Bunkhouse.
Yeah, that steamboat wasn't bad for a kid.
Is that a helicopter going over now?
Probably is. From the...
Do you have many go over your house here?
Yeah, quite a few. And some of those bigger planes, too.
Yeah, well, you're just across the river from... Fort Wainwright is right over there, I think, isn't it? Just a little ways.
See.
You're not too far from Fort Wainwright.
A few miles.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you were a crow and you were flying, or a helicopter.
Is that Ladfield?
Yes.
Well, I put in the winter there at Ladfield when it was, when it first opened up, helping break in the plant.
The power plant?
Yeah. That was several years back.
That must have been 1941 or 42.
I haven't kept track of the year.
I think they started that about 1941.
Anyway, it was an 8-month job, and I missed missed going to the 40 mile till, I mean, to get ready for mining that winter, that summer. Too late. Oh, I did go back all right, but too late to get a season in. And it was an 8-month job, and we got 10% bonus, all those that stayed on the job till it was breaking in the power plant.
And did you go to the 40 mile that summer?
Oh, yes, but it was too late to
you
do
were
much.
Late.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Too late to do much thorough mining.
Well, back to the Stern Wheeler that you worked on between Dawson and Whitehorse, was that in the summer of 1903?
The summer of 1903, yeah. And I went outside that...
At the end of the season?
The end of the season. Supposed to make one more trip. And if I stayed on, I was leery. I didn't think I could take the winters. Oh, I figured it had to be tough. Probably as tough as the rest of them. There was one kid stayed in that I knew, that I'd met around my age. He might have been a year or two older. I asked him after I got back in the spring how he made it. Oh, good. I was sorry I would have.
Where did you go? To Seattle?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And did you find work in Seattle that winter?
Oh, enough to
survive?
Survive is mm-hmm. right. It seems, I would like to have been strong enough to make it, but I figured I couldn't take off. And the way they tried to tell me, some of them guys in the bunkhouse when I was on the creek working, tell me different tales about wintertime.
It scared
and they
you.
Only did it to get my goat.
I see.
But I believed every word of them.
Yeah. So then in the spring of 1904, you went back to Skagway?
Yeah.
And then up to White Horse again?
But I didn't stay in Dawson. I went to Circle.
Well, tell me about when you left Seattle then, that 1904. Did you stow away again, or did you have money for...
Let's see. I only stowed away. No, the first time is all I stowed away. Yeah, first trip.
So then you came back and.
Oh, but I didn't go first class. But I tell you, you'd be surprised how cheap it was then. $20 for steerage. You got your bunk and room, bunk and grub and everything. And it was only about 30 for first class.
$20 from Seattle to Skagway?
Steerage.
And then the winter, the spring before, you said it was $20 to go from Skagway to Whitehorse.
That's
on the
right.
train. So, well, on this trip in 1904, when you came back, did you mush up to Whitehorse again, or did you have enough money to buy your ticket?
I saved that $20. No, I wouldn't.
You didn't want to walk that 111 miles again.
No, I did. But I said, wait a minute, I'm getting ahead of the hounds. There was a guy with me, 6 foot, 7 foot, 3 inches tall.
7 foot three.
He was Tony Puccini, Italian, 7'3", and we paid our way all right.
You rode the White Pass Railroad that next year.
That's right, but we bought a boat, went down. But we didn't stop in Dawson only about a day. We went on down the Circle and went to work on Mastodon Creek.
Mastodon Creek.
For Pete Anderson. $5 a day and board, 10 hours work, and I'm telling you, you worked every minute of it.
You were on the pick and shovel again.
Yeah, but say, you couldn't beat the board they used to, the way they used to board you, but they had to get the work out of you. Oh boy, a good grub. But before that fall was over, came around, I quit. Another fellow, me, went up the 40 mile, and that's been my...
You went to the 40 mile then, and that's where you've been since.
Back up roof.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been other parts too, but...
Do you remember who this fellow was who went with you to the 40 mile?
Well, yeah, Pete Palmer.
Pete Palmer?
Palmer. Oh, he died here years ago.
Do you spell his name
P-A-L-M-E-R.
Palmer.
But he was Scandinavian.
I see.
Palmer was his name, but he was Scandinavian.
But you went up to the 40 mile then that winter.
Stayed in there that winter.
Well, did you have a place to stay, or did you go in and build your cabin?
There were quite a few empty cabins, and believe it or not, there were cabins had guns, even money. Empty cabins. In the windowsill, you'd find nickels and dimes. You couldn't spend them.
Yes.
No use to pack them. I don't think they used any nickels and dimes here then. They might have, but I don't think so.
Well, I think when Fairbanks started, about the smallest coin was the
two bits. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's
well,
what
that's where Dawson was for many years.
That's what I've read many times.
But you'd find vacant cabins, quite a few of them. See, the country was beginning to thin out.
Yes.
1903 and 1904, anyway. Yeah, we found quite a few cabins, even guns and ammunition in some of them.
So you then you moved into a cabin. This was the 40 Mile River.
Up the 40 Mile River.
Now,
it was late in the fall, towards fall.
From Circle to get to the 40 Mile, you had to go
back
up the Yukon past Dawson.
No, not past.
No, below Dawson.
52 miles below Dawson. Past Eagle.
Past Eagle.
And there. Well, about halfway between Eagle and Dawson. And then we went up the 40 mile. But he'd been up the 40 mile before, and was well acquainted, quite an old guy then. And we found good sniping ground. Oh, I tell you.
What do you mean, sniping ground? Just
sniping on the river. You see, it's very shallow.
Panning on the river?
No. Oh, or they'd use a pan force to prospect, but rocking.
Oh, you just set up a little rocker.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you do well there them days. At certain stages of water was low, you could do well. And he was acquainted at different spots.
He had, what was this man's?
Pete Palmer.
Pete Palmer, yes. Pete had been up the 40 mile.
Oh, he'd been up there before.
So
I found out later that he and his partner that he had up there before had split up in a quarrel, and they split their boat in two.
Up the 40 mile?
They couldn't agree to who got the boat.
So they split their boat in
half? I didn't find that out till later.
So, I've heard stories about that, but you're the first one I've talked to who's really witnessed it.
Well, I didn't witness that.
But
this was his partner
but
before me.
Pete told you about it.
No, Pete didn't tell me. Someone else
did. Oh, I see.